And at this time, our children, ages first through fourth grade, may be dismissed for children's worship. Well, a perfectly accurate translation of the word happy, or the word blessed, is happy. And Jesus is teaching us the keys to the kingdom, what it means to be in character and in the culture of the kingdom as we follow the Beatitudes of Jesus. Have you ever been really, really thirsty? I mean, dying of thirst. I understand that junior high graduation was a little bit like that, that it was really hot in there. And Steve said, you know, we should have brought like water. And I'm like, really, for a graduation? He said it was really hot. We were dying in there. A small boy went to his father, and his father sent him to bed. It was bedtime. 5 minutes later, guess what? Dad could hear his son call. I'm thirsty. Can you bring me a drink of water? No, you had your chance. Lights out. 5 minutes later, Dad, what? I'm thirsty. Can I have a drink of water? I told you no. And if you ask again, I'll have to spank you. 5 minutes later, Dad, what? When you come in to spank me, can you bring me a glass of water? Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. This describes a completely insatiable appetite and thirst for the things of God. It's not the kind of thirst that you have after playing a baseball game on a hot day. It's not the kind of thirst you would have after playing even on no-tech Tuesdays out at the park, kickball. It's the kind of thirst that you would have after spending days in the desert without any water. It's not the kind of hunger that you've got when you miss lunch. It's more like you've gone several days without eating. Perhaps the English words parched and starving would be better used here. Jesus says, blessed are those who have that kind of hunger and that kind of thirst for the things of God. This is a thirst and hunger that motivates us to action. It demands that we be fed. It demands that we get water into our bodies. When I was in college, I was working minimum wage at cleaning a Roper corporate office, and I had the opportunity to move from $3.35 an hour to $8 an hour by working for UPS. What I didn't know was what they love to do to new guys. So the first night, they backed six semi-trailers up to one conveyor belt and had four or five guys unloading semis onto the conveyor belt, and they put me at the end of the conveyor belt with the end of it sticking in a semi-trailer. And then my job was to take all the packages that five guys were unloading and load them into this trailer. It's a three-hour shift. It's just 3 hours. But in the heat of summer, 90 degrees, I experienced what I have never experienced at a level of intensity I've never experienced before, and that is thirst. I was sweating like a big dog in that trailer. And we got a break an hour and a half in. And I can remember about the second day, I was really getting dehydrated. And I got out of the truck, and I went over to the water fountain, and I got I just, you know, sucked it out of the faucet. And the big boss came over and said, "What are you doing? Get back in there and go to work." I'm like, "I'm dying here. Get back in there and go." I lasted 2 weeks. And literally, the problem, not only was it very physically demanding for me, but I really think if I could have just had some water, I could have stuck it out. But that was a way to weed through, you know, the weak guys. I was so thirsty. Have you ever been that thirsty? I mean, really, really thirsty, so thirsty that your tongue sticks to the roof of your mouth. For some people, they could say public speaking does that. The first sermon that I did to a group of people in the classroom with a video camera on me, a professor who was grading me, my mouth stuck together. My tongue stuck to my mouth. I felt like I had cotton in my mouth. I could not talk. I was so nervous. But we all thirst, don't we? Not only physically, but we can relate to this spiritual illustration that Jesus is giving. We thirst for love. We thirst for belonging. We thirst for experiences of joy and happiness. We thirst and desperately search for meaning and significance in our lives. You know, you can pay a guy $100 an hour, and eventually, if he's not finding meaning in that work, he'll get distracted. And on the converse, you can pay a guy $3.35 an hour, and if he's finding meaning in it, he'll stick it out. Beloved, when we come to church, when we come to worship, we are surrounded by an ocean of living water. Amen? During worship, when we sing, we're quenching our souls. The Holy Spirit is dumping His water in, and it feels so good. Amen, doesn't it? I can say if I miss church on a Sunday, I'm like dry bones desert. Ezekiel in the valley of the dry bones, I can hardly make it. I need this experience of corporate fellowship and corporate worship. Something about hearing you sing fills me. Something about hearing the experiences of what goes on during the week and saying, "Hey, how's it going? All right, how you doing? Are you making it?" And then focusing our attention from things of earth to things of God replenishes our soul. Amen? Many, however, maybe even here this morning, experience a Sahara dry soul. Why? Why can so many, even maybe even sitting next to each other, drink their fill from the living water and others not so much? Why are some souls shriveled up and dying and others replenished and hydrated? Why are some dehydrated and everything's sticking together? And others are fluent in their relationship with God. To understand, let's take a look at physical thirst. There's a couple interesting facts about physical thirst. There's something that we experience when the pituitary gland secretes two hormones in the body. One causes a physical reaction, a literal physical reaction in the kidneys, and the other causes the more complicated activity of the hypothalamus, which sends signals to the salivary glands to reduce secretions. In other words, if you're going in for a dry time, your body says, "All right, we're going to conserve water." And what you normally have in your mouth to talk with and swallow with, we're going to cut that way back. Did you know, just thinking about thirst, I'm thirsty right now. Aren't you? I really am. Can cause hypothalamus to begin in the body. Dan, you got some water there. You mind sharing it? Oh, it's You got a little stuff in it too, don't you? You got the good stuff there. Yeah. Have you ever been really, really thirsty? Like that? Thirst is one of the most powerful spiritual symbols in all of Scripture. As dehydration draws the entire body, the whole of our physical being, into a longing and discovery of water. For some of us in our spiritual journey, we can say that's kind of what it was like for us. Spiritually, my soul was dry. Drying up. I was dehydrated. I was thinking we were going to go sit down, and I'm like, he's bringing me water. I could hear it coming out of the water cooler, and I'm like, ah. For those of you who don't have a styrofoam cup full of water right now, Joey, that was the best glass of water I've had for a long time. Thank you. The psalmist expressed it with these words in Psalms 42:1. As the deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you. O God, my God. And you know what? We can recapture that or discover that for the very first time, even here this morning. What it is to thirst and hunger, not for junk food, but for the right bread and life and living water. We must capture it. We must thirst and long for God. How's your appetite spiritually? How's your thirst for God lately? You say, wait a minute. You're talking about conscious choice and then thirst in the body. That's all about, you know, natural mechanisms that occur without us even thinking about it. Yeah, to a point. We'll talk more about it this morning, about how it is that we have a choice in regards to which faucet or drain we're going to drink from. And which one is going to bring about a healthy appetite, and which one is going to bring about an appetite for more junk food. You see, each place that we drink and each place that we eat creates an appetite. Those who have experienced the pain and brokenness of searching for meaning in life through searching for more and more, how do I say this in a public setting? Well, let's just say the internet can be used for good and for bad. And they will tell us that in man's search for meaning, we'll find one thing that seems to bring a sense of satisfaction for an appetite. And if we continue to eat there, it becomes a larger and larger appetite, looking for more and more and more and more. And so we need to be careful where we're eating and where we're drinking, what we're eating from, and where we're drinking from. We must thirst for God. This is how we have been created. Amen? We have been created from the very beginning to be in fellowship with God. From the time of the garden, in the Garden of Eden, where, yeah, earth was beautiful and all, and the garden was awesome, but without God, it was just a garden. Amen? God was the centerpiece of Adam and Eve until they started, like we're all tempted, start to eat, to curb an appetite that should not be fed. That appetite, of course, is our propensity to choose to fight God. Well, it's a struggle of the wills. It's, wait a minute, you're God? I have the power of choice. I could be God. What are you going to do about that? And so I try it and I test it. And sure enough, it awakens appetites that don't need to be awakened, but we feed them. And before you know it, we're way off down the road somewhere, and we're even getting scared because the appetite that we fed is commanding everything. All the resources, all the emotional energy, and we're exhausted. Oh, we're still hungry. But now we don't know what to do with the appetite, the monster that we've created by feeding it. John chapter 7, verse 37, hear God's word. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The Jewish people love to celebrate. I want you to imagine rolling Thanksgiving, Easter, Christmas, all into one. And this would have been likened to the Feast of the Passover for the Jews. Or the Feast of the Tabernacles. A high, happy, and holy day. During the feast, the Feast of the Tabernacles, the priest would go to the Pool of Siloam, take a golden pitcher, dip it into the water, come back to the temple, and there he would pour on the altar of sacrifice. And at that moment, the Levites would blow their trumpets, and everyone in the whole assembly would cry out the words of Isaiah 12:3. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Let's try that. Isaiah 12:3. Would you repeat after me? With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Brad, could you put it up there? Isaiah 12:3. That guy's good. Okay. All right. So, the priest walks over to the Pool of Siloam with the golden pitcher, dips it into the water. He walks over to the altar of sacrifice, and the Levites blow their trumpets, da-da-da-da, and he pours the water, and the people say, then there would be leaping and dancing and shouting and singing, and great hallelujahs would fill the air. It was right at this moment, right at this moment, that Jesus stood up in the middle of the crowd and with that royal voice cried out, if anyone is thirsty, he should come to me and drink. Jesus knew that everyone at that feast would be going back to the same old ways of life, the same old patterns of living, unless they discovered the source of living water. You see, religion won't save us. And we can even have kind of an appetite for religion, but it won't save us. Only Jesus yields water, the water of life. Too often we drink from the worldly well instead of drinking from the eternal well, the well of life, which is only found in Jesus Christ. So how do we develop this thirst? And I admire you and I commend you and I say thank you for your transparency. If you're here this morning and say, honestly, I don't thirst and I don't hunger for things of God. This is where you have the opportunity to exercise your will in agreement with God. See, we have been created to be in fellowship with Him. That means there is a hunger in our soul. Kind of like a husband and a wife who love each other, there's a hunger in their soul for each other. Kind of like a father and a son or a mother and a daughter, there's a hunger in their soul to care for each other and love each other. So is there a hunger and thirst in us for God. So how do we develop that appetite and thirst? Well, put a little salt in the oats. When I was in college, I worked, I think it was after UPS, I was looking for another really hot job, and so I went to work third shift at the Olivet Boiler Room, where I was walking around looking at gauges with my clipboard, and about the second night, I'm looking at these things on the wall. They were little dispensaries, and I was like, what are those? And they're like salt tablets. I'm like, well, what do you do with those? Well, you take those, and they help you drink. I was like, well, I think I'm doing okay. Why would I want that? Well, working overnight and sweating all night profusely, that starts to work on you. And the salt helps you retain moisture, but it also makes you thirsty. I don't know. I don't know about the science, but anyway, they were on the wall, and I took some. And I was really thirsty, so I drank more. Kept me hydrated. Put a little salt in the oats. You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can give a horse oats, but can't make him eat. But if you put a little salt in his oats, it'll help him drink. So how do we put some salt in our oats this morning? Well, first of all, remember that we can have developed an appetite and a thirst for the old life. How many of you have ever drank Kewanee water? Anybody here? All right, there's one right there. Kewanee water is awful. Tastes and smells like sulfur. Jeanette and I were driving through there one time and we stopped at a restaurant and they gave us, you know, customary glasses of water. We took a drink. We're like, whoa, what is this? It's just our water. Well, she says, what's the matter? She says, everybody around here, that it's fine. I'm like, well, we're from out of town. Oh. Let me get you something else. And the coffee tasted just as bad because they made it with that water. Rotten eggs, exactly. It was terrible. Tasted like sulfur. You see, if you grew up there, tasted just fine. And the old devil knows that when we're getting dangerous in regards to making forward progress in our spiritual life, he'll give us some of the old home water. And we'll be like, oh, that tasted pretty good. Reminds me of the old times when we were still living as the old man. As Paul says, still satisfying the cravings of our sinful nature, still going after the things that will cause us death, but there's still that appetite, there's still that thirst, and we're still wanting to drink it. And the old devil says, well, yeah, I get you some. How much would you like? So we've got to develop a thirst for different things. Well, here again, we'll put a little salt in the oats. What you feed and what you eat on, you'll begin to develop an appetite for. Jeanette and I can testify to the fact that as you start to eat better, junk food doesn't look so good anymore. I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes a Big Mac looks pretty awesome. And even now, I mean, it's been years, but once in a while I think, I could really use a Big Mac right now. And if you eat Big Macs, there's nothing wrong with it as long as you're doing it in moderation. But I wouldn't make a steady diet of them, right? You'd be Big Mac, right? But you know what? If we eat junk food, we're going to start craving junk food. And it's after a little bit, it starts to really be insatiable appetite and we're not satisfied. But a healthy appetite for healthy things creates a healthy appetite for the right things. And we feel better. It's right. It's the way we're designed. It's the way we're wired. So begin to eat the things of God, the bread of life, the living water. You know, if you suck hard enough on the drain, you'll get what's stuck in there. And we can drink from the drain of the world or drink from the well of Jesus. I'd like to invite our worship team to come on up. If you're tired of living without a spiritual passion, a zeal for God, tired of going through the motions, if you're feeling like you're spiritually dry, the Lord invites you to come to Him. Come for spiritual renewal. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, he should come to me and drink. Are you thirsty? Thirsty for the things of God? Thirsty for a victorious life? Then come to Jesus and drink, and He will fill you to overflowing. I just want to invite you this morning, kind of like Brandon was talking about earlier. You know, as we experience and follow through with obedience in God's plan, He blesses. And it may not make sense in our minds, but He is faithful to His promises. Amen. I want to invite you this morning to take some mental notes and to make some brave decisions today. Right now, the Holy Spirit is probably bringing to your mind some things that you could do to put a little salt in your oats for things of God. I want to invite you to fully participate in our church's small group ministry, which will be fully functioning next week. By doing so, you're putting a little salt in your oats for things of God. It involves you making a decision to move forward in your spiritual walk? Daily being in the Word of God. Find a Bible buddy that will ask you, what are you reading? And ask them to ask you every week, where are you reading? And tell me about it. I have that in a group of guys here at the church. They ask me every week, how you doing spiritually? What are you reading? And so on. They put a little salt in my oats for things of God. On the converse, there may be some things that you'll need to stop feeding. And by I'm telling you, your body may, your soul may go, hey, wait a minute. That tasted pretty good. But in your soul, you know, you're eating junk food. And it is what it is. And instead of eating more of that and drinking more of that, make a conscious decision of your will. Say, Lord, I'm trading this in for new appetites. I'm tired of hungering after junk. I'm tired of drinking from the drain. I want to drink the living water. Jesus will meet us where we are, and He accepts us with His grace. And as we come to Him, we say, Lord, thank you for meeting me where I'm at. And I am done. I repent of eating from the wrong table and drinking from the wrong glass. And with your grace, Lord, will you feed my appetite for that search for meaning, that need for love and relationship? Lord, may it all be centered in you. Let's pray. Lord, we do come to you today acknowledging that you are the source of living water. You are the bread of life. Father, as we take an inventory today, an assessment of our lives, our minds, what our minds have been feeding on, what we've been feeding our souls, Lord, help us to make some conscious decisions today to move forward, to stop buying the line of the devil that says, oh, but you need this. This is where it's at. But rather find our strength and our purity and our righteousness in you. Thank you, Lord. As we respond now to your voice through the words of this song, Lord, I pray that you would go deep. Cast out the junk and give us a healthy appetite for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy as deep cries out. We say, said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." Have a great week, everybody. You are dismissed.
Yeah, God bless you.